It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The 3-2 pitch. Struck him out! Kansas City, you've got a World Series. The Royals are champions of the American League. Dan Quisenberry gets the strike past Willie Randolph, and the Royals have won the American League pennant.
Willie Randolph, former Mets manager, who'd probably be losing sleep after last night's victory they had in that game.
I mean, just an incredible call by Denny Matthews from back in the day. That's 1980, beating the Yankees finally to get to that World Series for the first time in franchise history. There's nobody better to talk about it than Curt Nelson, the Royals Hall of Fame director, who I guess you could say is a novel when it comes to the Kansas City Royals. That was the first time there getting to that World Series. Kurt, what was it like for you back in 1980 getting that final win over the Yankees, you know?
Well, the 1980 team, I've always said, is, you know, they're so close to my heart because I was 12 years old then. You do the math.
Right.
And that team, I tell those guys, I'm an odd duck in the fact that I've got to do this as a career, but they literally changed my life. And so, you know, finally beating the Yankees, you know, that was finally beating the Yankees. That was not the first time we ran across the Yankees in the postseason. But that, you know, that third strike with Dan Quisenberry on the mound, who was a key player and finally getting us to be able to beat the Yankees. And, of course, that great call from Denny Matthews. But, yeah, that 1980 series obviously was, you know, so important in Royals history to finally win an American League pennant.
When you do go to the Royals Hall of Fame, is it like an Arthur Blank thing? Like you have to induct yourself, or will somebody finally put you into the place that you built?
Now, I don't know if I qualify necessarily. I'm the storyteller and tell the stories of the people that I've been part of this franchise and you know, led to some of these great moments and so many interesting characters and great people. And, you know, we inducted three people this year that I was thrilled with because of their influence on the franchise, especially the general managers, you know, that were key parts of that 1980 team. Even, you know, Cedric Talas was general manager from 69 to 74. So he didn't see those championship series against the Yankees, but certainly was a big part of it because so many of the players that made up those teams were drafted, developed, or traded for with Cedric. And then, of course, John Schuerholz was there building the farm system in that time. And then later on with the 85 team, was the general manager. So, yeah, it's very fun to be able to tell their stories.
You know, Kurt, I think what's fun to tell is the kind of the story of the Yankees and the Royals, one of the more historically significant rivalries, you know, in baseball. And it was great in the late 70s and obviously in 1980. And then it petered out because, well, the Royals didn't live up to what they needed to live up to basically for, you know, 30 years. And the Yankees took off and did their thing. People that are kind of waking up today in their 30s and 40s probably really don't understand the significance of this series with the Yankees that's coming up. In your opinion, how significant is this Royals-Yankees ALCS from a historical perspective?
Well, it's great to look back on it for us, you know, us that were around to be able to be part of that. You know, you think the Royals and the Yankees played each other in four of five postseasons. And this was early on when the postseason was a thing. You know, what we know as the postseason began with the Royals expansion in 1969. Before 1969, there was no such thing as the postseason. There was only the World Series. So when the expansion of 69 with the four teams, including the Royals and Kansas City, was what spurred that 69 expansion, the league split into divisions, and that's when the ALCS and NLCS, which was the beginning of the postseason, came about. So it was early on in that era that the Royals and Yankees would run across each other in 76. And, you know, we think of that as the Royals' first entree into the postseason, which, of course, it was in a very brief history of the franchise beginning in 69. But it was new for the Yankees, too, because the last time they had been in the World Series was 1964. So it had been 12 years since the Yankees had made that. So there were basically nobody left from the, you know, that team. So it was new for both of them. And they were combatants, you know, three straight years in which the Yankees would beat us in 76. And, you know, George hit a home run. And back in those days, when they were five-game series, we took it to five games in 76. George hit a three-run home run in the top of the eighth at Yankee Stadium to tie that game. And then Chambliss would hit the home run, the walk-off home run to win it. And then we met up again the next year. The Royals won 102 games in 77. That time we had home field advantage and pushed it all the way to the fifth game again and had a 3-1 lead going into the eighth inning. The Yankees scored one in the eighth and three in the top of the ninth and beat us here at home. That was really a crusher. And then they beat us in four games in 1978. George had another great performance in that. In that game three, he had three home runs in his first three at-bats at Yankee Stadium, but he always says all three of them were solo home runs. And we ended up losing that game 6-5 and lost in four. And then, of course, we would meet again in 1980 and have the wonderful the slaying of the dragon, I say, in 1980.
When you look at this team today versus the Yankees and you think of those 70s matchups, what are some similarities that we could see in modern time that maybe were there when, like, my dad was, you know, my age, dying on the edge of his seat watching the Yankees just rip his soul out, which I don't think is necessarily the situation here, but are there similarities in that Yankees-Royals matchup that there might be in today's Royals matchup against the Yankees?
There's a lot of similarities to a lot of successful Royals teams, and some of that deals with the ballpark that we play in. And, you know, it's different than it was then because it was artificial turf and now it's grass, and but it's still a big ballpark. So, you know, pitching and defense, you know, it sounds a cliche and everything, but pitching and defense is important. Pitching and defense was important back in those days for that Royals team. You had Dennis Leonard and Paul Splittorff and Larry Gura and guys like that were pitching in the rotation. And it was very important. You know, 76, 77, 78, we really didn't have a closer per se. And as a matter of fact, in 77, for instance, in that game five, when we were battling for our lives at home, trying to maintain that lead in the bottom of the ninth, when the Yankees scored three runs to win that game, we didn't have a closer in that game. Whitey Herzog went to starting pitchers coming out of the bullpen. Dennis Leonard pitched in that ninth inning. Larry Gura pitched in that ninth inning. So he didn't really have a closer. And so that in no small way, us winning in 1980, you know, Dan Quisenberry coming on the scene late in 1979, 1980 was his first full season. He had 33 saves. And he was key in us being able to do that. And he pitched the last three innings of that game three sweep in New York. He pitched the last three innings. Wow. Back in that day, the closers pitched, and he escaped a bases loaded no out jam in the eighth after George's three run home run that put us ahead 4-2. So in that way, you can sort of see the similarities between these teams, guys that get on base, put the bat on the ball, don't strike out a lot, and play pitching and defense. And that was key back in 1980. It's going to be key again this year.
And also, too, Kurt, I think that 1980 win over the Yankees kind of laid a little bit of a groundwork for what was going to happen in the future, right? Didn't, like, Dick Houser get, you know, fired by the Yankees or leave the Yankees soon after that and come to Kansas City?
It's really interesting, Bob, because if you think about the 1980 season, both the Royals and the Yankees had first-year managers. Dick Houser was managing his first year for the Yankees, won 103 ball games, won the American League East. Jim Frey with the Royals wins the American League West. They meet in the ALCS. In game two of that ALCS here in Kansas City, in the eighth inning, when the Royals held a slight one-run lead, and it was in the top of the eighth, again, it was Willie Randolph. He was on first base. Bob Watson hit a shot down into the left field corner, and they tried to score Willie Randolph from first, and it was Wilson to Brett to Porter at the plate, and Willie Randolph was out at the plate, so the tying run was cut down at the plate to end the top of the eighth. The Royals would win that game and then go on in George's home run in game three to win it. George Steinbrenner was so upset with that play in game two that after that game, he went into the visiting clubhouse at Royal Stadium and told Dick Houser, "You have to fire your third base coach, a gentleman by the name Mike Ferraro." And, of course, Dick said, "We're in the middle of a series. I am not firing the third base coach in the middle of the series." Then after they lost the series, he went to him again and said, "You're firing Mike Ferraro." And he said, "I'm not firing Mike Ferraro." He said, "Yes, you are." And Dick said, If you're asking me to fire Mike Ferrari, you're going to have to fire me." And George Steinbrenner called a press conference and said that, and Dick was there, and he said that George Steinbrenner was leaving the Yankees because he had business opportunities in Florida that he couldn't pass up. And, of course, the media asked Dick about the business opportunities, and Dick says, "You'll have to ask Mr. Steinbrenner." So he fired him, and then, of course, Jim Frey was the manager of the Royals the beginning of the 81 season, but we didn't get off to a good start. The second half after the strike, we didn't get off to a good start again. So what did the Royals do? They fired Jim Frey and they hired Dick Houser. So thank you, George Steinbrenner, for being so upset with Dick Houser in game two of the ALCS in 1980, because that led the next year to Dick Houser becoming manager of the Royals. And of course, he would lead us to the playoffs in 81. A division title in 84, and the World Series title in 85, and cement a legacy here in Kansas City. But yes, Dick Houser's career in Kansas City goes back to one play in game two of the 1980 ALCS at Royal Stadium between the Yankees and Royals.
That's wild, man. Like, George Steinbrenner, you know, fires everybody, but in the middle of a playoff series, go fire your third base coach. That's typical Steinbrenner right there. Glad he did it.
I'm glad he did it too, because it really paid off for Kansas City, and it was like you say, it's very Steinbrenian to be able to do that.
But
the series against the Yankees, it's hard to believe it's been 44 years. We haven't run across them. We sort of stayed around in the playoffs for a little bit. The Yankees disappeared a little bit after 1981, mm-hmm. and then the Yankees resurgence, and then we were gone for a long time. So there hasn't been this meeting back. It almost happened back in 15 when we played the Astros, because the Astros and Yankees had played in the wild card game. So we almost clashed in 15, but it's good to see the matchup again.
It is. Kurt, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Kurt Nelson, Hall of Fame director for the Royals, shedding some historical perspective on what this Yankees-Royals series is. And I think for the kids, you know, our age, we're starting to understand what our fathers have talked about for years, you know, with this Royals-Yankee matchup. Just to let you know, Foaling is offering free Foaling for listeners who arrive before 6 p.m. today. You get to Foaling between 2 and 6 today. Every Friday in October is a free Foaling Friday. Just mention you heard it here on 96.5 The Fan. They'll let you in for free. You can foal around and find out how fun foaling is every Friday in October from 2 until 6. Free foaling, and of course, world-class bar. They'll have all kinds of drink specials as well. So get into foaling today from 2 to 6. It's free, and just tell them we sent you here on 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up on the other side, an interesting stat that proves that Brett Veach is always two steps ahead of everyone else. I'm Dusty Like. It's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Thank you to Kurt Nelson, who joined our show. Very kind gesture of him. I figured
when we were doing our prep work, you mentioned his name. I said, that's a guy you got to have on. That guy was dialed in for those 70s games.
Nobody knows more about the Royals than Kurt. Nobody knows everything about the Royals other than Kurt Nelson.
I can tell you a funny story about Kurt Nelson. All right. I don't know if it's funny, but it's the first time I met him.
Okay.
Remember when Vern would do his show in that back room at the K in the press box?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if Kurt's office was back there.
No, he's in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah.
But he had like his assistant, I think, was up there.
Yeah, and he would sit in the desk after Vern's show was done. And I knew who he was. He has a very distinct look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just pick him out of a crowd.
Right.
And we're sitting there, and Vern's talking about something, and then I remember talking about something in the past, and then he was like, what's funny about both those stories? And it's not like he's one-upping you, but he's just solidifying why it's important to you or why you still remember it. And like, there is some, like, you know, random stat about it, but it's just like I could sit there for hours. Like, if you put a cooler of 24 Miller Lights next to me and said, okay, Kurt, 2 hours, go ahead. There'd probably be 12 to 14 gone, and I would just be that Chris Farley guy. Like, you were that one time in like 1985 when the Royals won the World Series. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've done that, and I will one up you. If anything should ever happen to me, he's Jen's replacement for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not Kevin O'Connell?
No.
Okay.
No.
Keep that guy the hell away from your house.
Attainable human beings. Like, Kurt is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
And he does an amazing job. If you haven't been out to the Royals Hall of Fame, make sure you get out there and check it out. But I would feel good if he were to take my place if anything should happen to me. So my wife's like, yeah,
I don't
Kurt's
get the
taking
nod.
Your place. Now, Kurt's been my wife's friend for like 30 years now. And so she's like, if anything ever happens to you, Kurt Nelson's taking over. I'm like, perfect. I'm good with that.
Fair enough. I bet he's getting ready for the Red River Shootout next week.
Oh, yes, he is. Big Oklahoma guy, yeah.
Oh, he's a Sooner? Okay,
Oklahoma
gotcha.
Grad, baby.
Yeah, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, he's been there since day one with the Sooner fandom. So I'm sure he
suffered the John Blake year.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to ask him a question about the guy that never was. I forget what his name is. It was
Bob Hamlin?
No, he's the 30 for 30. Gosh, was it Dupree?
Is that Bud Dupree. No, Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree.
Yeah, Marcus Dupree.
Still one of the best, one of the best 30 for 30s I've ever seen.
You think that was, huh?
It's top three.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's top.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to watch that one.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, you'll find out how much of a Richard, which we'll do Rich of the Week at 9 o'clock, you'll find out how much of a Richard Barry Switzer was.
Yeah, wow. I mean, back in those days, yeah.
Yeah, just a total red ass.
Yep.
But no, thanks to Kurt Nelson for the time. We'll have George Brett. That's right. George Brett at 8 o'clock. We'll have Jay Binkley at 9 o'clock at the round table. I know he is amped.
I told you he canceled his hip surgery to come in for the round table
today.
It's
a dedication for your boys.
It really is, man. It really is. I was talking to our guys on WWL radio in New Orleans yesterday, and they wanted to know like all about this Chiefs team. And we kind of started talking about the defensive side of this thing. And I told them yesterday on the radio, Dusty, that, you know, we should have all seen the defensive style of football coming. Last night's game withstanding, right, with 500 yards passing or whatever it was for Kirk Cousins, that we should have all seen this kind of shift from an offensive standpoint to a defensive standpoint in the NFL, because for the last 2 years, where's Brett Veach been drafting, right? He's been drafting first round players on the defensive side of the football, Karlaftis and McDuffie. Then you had FAU. And it's like when Brett Veach starts doing stuff in 2 years, that's going to be the trend in the NFL. And he was ahead of this trend, because I think defenses right now in this league are crazy. I mean, through the first, you know, 4 weeks of the NFL season, just 15 times as a quarterback thrown for over 300 yards, 16 going into last night's game now. And so defenses have really, really started to take over and really started to be prominent. But I don't think anybody should be shocked. Brett Veach was doing this 2 years ago when he started loading up on the defensive side of the football. You got Leo Chenal, you got, you know, Karlaftis, you got McDuffie, Justin Reed coming in, you know, Bolton a couple of years ago, and then FAU coming in. Like, they've really loaded up on the defensive side of the football. And lo and behold, look how important defense is now in the NFL.
You speak of stories and powerful people that can get me to drink 24 Millers. I might have to go to Hy-Vee real quick for our next guest that joins the show here to tell us all about these Chiefs.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. Mitch Holthus joins us every Friday at 7:25. It is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I'm just going to tell you, man, feed me, baby. I'm ready. Blue Friday, Red Friday. I'm hungry. I'm revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown.
Let's go. Get the bunt down. Rally on two. I'll use Dane and Hughes. Go get it. Hit somebody in the mouth.
Right.
All of that. Let's go. Monday Night Football. Yankees, let's take them on. Let's sweep them, too.
I mean,
so, yeah, I'm with you, Dusty. Fired up, buddy.
You're fired up and you're ready to go, but you're also fired up about these boys in blue, right? How about the Royals advancing to the next round of the postseason?
Way cool. And actually, I texted Ryan Lefevre last night and told him it was just so exciting. You know, I was working. I'm kind of watching over the shoulder and listening over the shoulder and doing the normal work. But I told Ryan, he's as good. He might be better on the radio. He's great on TV, but he's awesome on the radio.
Fantastic.
And he just brings an element of excitement to it. But to get that done, get a 30-game improvement, and now go to New York with zero fear is really kind of fun. The thing I would tell you, too, though, is the Royals proved my point. You guys, and Bob, you know this, the Royals proved my point. How thrilling was a 1-0 and a 2-1 victory.
Great.
So why in football do we discount the Chiefs for winning an NFL record 10 games in a 10-game winning streak with the slimmest margin of all time in NFL history, or tying an NFL record of 7 straight games of winning by 7 points or less, and thinking that's a point of weakness? If you don't win in football 41-7, I think it's a fantasy football thing.
Yep.
But still, in baseball, it's a thrilling 1-0 victory. You're like waiting on every little pitch, every big pitch. But the Chiefs have done that now and won a Super Bowl wrapped around winning games just like those two games over Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's just the psychology of the game.
Well, I think also too, Mitch, and I've been telling this to anybody who will listen recently, I still think people are living in 2018 where they think Patrick Mahomes is 50 and 5,000, and that's what's going to happen. But this league, as we just talked about before you jumped on, it's kind of shifted now to a defensive side where you got just as good of athletes, if not better, playing on the defensive side of the football now over the last couple of years, not all on the offensive side of the football. And so I just think people have amnesia. They saw their first impression of Patrick Mahomes in 2018 and expected it to be that way every year since. And quite frankly, it's not even close to 2018.
Or I'm going to lose my fantasy football league of $300 to Bruno and Todd down there. I'm so mad because I've taken my guys that I love and they're not winning my fantasy league.
Right.
That's part of this too. We joke about it, but there's an element of reality to fantasy in that regard. So, but the fact that the Chiefs have figured out ways to win and win closely is the exact parallel to the Royals sweep and the Orioles.
You there?
I'm here.
All right, you went through a dead zone. That's okay. We're just making sure you're still alive.
Love it.
All right, so yeah, we've got ourselves a game on Monday night to kind of cool the Jets for an extra day. The Saints are 2-2, but aren't they better than that?
This is a 4-0 team in 2-2 clothing. The Saints are so close to being 4-0. Their two losses, it's 3-0 in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia, and the Eagles get a long Saquon Barkley run to win in the last minute. And then New Orleans has got to be going, how did we even lose to Atlanta? A muff punt, Rashid Shaheed muffs a punt, skanks a punt, and it's a touchdown for Atlanta. That's one Atlanta touchdown. The other one is they've got a screen perfectly set up. The Saints have a screen perfectly set up to the left side of the field. Oh, tip pass goes right into the hands of the Falcon linebacker, who's actually out of position, and there's nobody around to tackle him because they're all on the other side of the field trying to set up the screen. That's the two touchdowns they lost on against Atlanta. This New Orleans team is second in their best in red zone defense in the league. They're nasty on defense. Offensively, they're second on third down, and offensively, they're second in red zone touchdown percentage on offense. This is a good team, not a 2-2 team. You got to think like this is 2-4-0 teams playing.
Mitch, you get an old friend, or I guess an old foe. Derek Carr comes to town. Looks like he's kind of revamped his season this year. His not his career. I don't want to say that he's had a stable career, but he gets to play this defense. He gets to go up against Spags, and it's the red wall against those high-flying Saints. Alvin Kamara gets to try to do what nobody else has done against this Chiefs team, try to run. And Derek Carr gets to try to do something that no one really else gets to do, is try to throw against this defense. So I'm interested to know what you think about Derek Carr coming to Kansas City again, but in a different color uniform.
In my study of Derek Carr this week and what's gone on in New Orleans, Dusty, whatever you think of Derek Carr to this point, 3-14 against the Chiefs, blah, 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 forget it. They've tried to reinvent Derek Carr. And if he was taking Calc 2 before, they've reduced it down to college algebra for him. Mm. The Saints fired their entire offensive staff. Where did they go? San Francisco. They started to poach San Francisco offensive staff guys. Clint Kubiak is the new offensive coordinator. And so what Clint Kubiak has tried to do, they're trying to make Derek Carr into Brock Purdy and reduce the package for him, reduce his mistakes. Completion percentage goes way up. They're so unique, though, in the way they approach NFL offensive football. The big key here is, will Taysom Hill be healthy? Taysom Hill is a menace. He can line up as a tight end, a slot, a halfback, a quarterback, a tight end. He'll play defense and special teams. If Taysom Hill is out, it's a big deal. But there's more here than Alvin Kamara as well, who's like a double-double waiting to happen in both receiving and running. I mentioned Rashid Shaheed, super underrated, lightning fast, very Xavier-worthy speed-like, and then Chris Olave is a weapon. But they've reduced the package for Derek Carr to eliminate his mistakes and make those other guys I just mentioned all the more effective.
Also, Tyrann Mathieu coming home, if you will, to Kansas City and returning here. Obviously, Willie Gay would be, but he's banged up a little bit. So there are some familiar faces that we're going to see on Monday night.
Is this alumni weekend?
Yes.
I mean, there's more. Colin Saunders
is
on this team,
right,
and he's playing at a very high level. He's playing great for them. You mentioned Willie Gay Jr. and Tyrann Mathieu. Tano Passanio is on injured reserve. He's hurt and won't be back for a while. But there's other local dudes on this team. Christian Boyd, who's a Blue Springs Wildcat, backs up Colin Saunders on the defensive line. Their kicker is a dude named Blake Groupie, who's from Sedalia, Missouri, Smith Cotton High School, who played his last year at Notre Dame. He was at Arkansas State prior to that. He actually beat the Chiefs in a walk-off field goal in his first-ever pro game in the last year's preseason. There's all these local ties. I've been looking at the Saints scouting staff of, like, who's going after our guys who knows this area? Nathan Shepard is on this team. Defensive line, plays right next to Colin Saunders. He's a Fort Hays State Tiger in the MIAA. And they've also got a Pitt State kid on this team that started at Southern Illinois. He's a DB. I'm going to get his name here in a second. Rico Payton. All these local ties. I mean, there's like 10 guys on this team that have a tie one way or another to the Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's a lot of dudes on one team coming back to Kansas City. Offensively, obviously, Rashee Rice's injury changes a lot. What is Andy Reid going to do? Going to get back to the shop and get things moving in the right direction?
This is where Andy Reid goes to his tool shed. And I feel like we're back at the beginning of 2022 just because of necessity. And what's he going to do and how's he going to do it? And it's going to be everybody. People say, gosh, with Rice out, Brown out, Pops out, I mean, you're looking, you can extrapolate this. That's about 2,800 yards and about 15 touchdowns if you want to get serious about it. So where does all that come from? And I'm going to tell you, from everybody. Wiley's got to get involved at tight end. Gray's got to be a little bit better. They get Kels up and running. All three of those running backs are going to have impact and don't fumble the ball. That's a good idea. And the receivers, and then take your pop when you can with Xavier Worthy. But don't take any of them on fantasy. It's going to take them all, and it's going to take the – you got to stay away from the turnovers, right? Way too many turnovers. -4. Here's one of your stats in the morning. Chiefs are -4 in the giveaway takeaway, and they're 4-0.
That's wild.
Here's another wild one. If you're -2 or more in this league, the combined record of those teams are 12-20.
Wow.
The Chiefs are 4-0. So look at the difference there. The Saints, told you they're nasty. They love to punch the ball out. They've got 8 takeaways in 4 games. They're +3 in the giveaway takeaway. They punch it out. They intercept it. They've got a nickelback that's got 3.5 sacks. They're aggressive. They want to rip your flesh off. They're very similar to the Charger defense. This is game on, boys, all the way through. This isn't going to be a pretty game. You're going to have to slug it out and grind another one out like a 1-0 Royals win.
Mitch, speaking of fantasy, we had a discussion earlier this week that it'd be awesome to see Diddy Matthews do a Chiefs game and you do a Royals game. Any idea when you might want to do that in your future?
I'm all in. I'm so in for that. Denny played football at Illinois Wesleyan. He was a wide receiver. So it's not like he's going to be having a foreign language.
Right.
But I'm all in. In fact, Ryan, when I've been in the booth with them on TV, goes, hey, just, you know, take over a half inning. And I didn't do it. But I will at some point. Yeah, I'm all about that. Yes, for sure.
And Denny would do something like this, we think. You know, Mahomes, Kelsey for 89 yards, gone. Travis Kelsey, touchdown, right?
No outs to go.
Yeah. And if Lucas Irsay got a save, you would just say, and Lucas Irsay put the hammer down in Kansas City. I would have feel like that.
While the Royals are gargling the sweet nectar of the end zone and champagne in the locker room with Viz Queen and goggles on.
That's right.
I like it. I call me a Salvador Perez home run, Mitch.
Right now, I can't do it. I'd blow a hamstring. I'd be off the game. I got to warm up.
That's right.
Well, you warm up on Monday night as you're keeping one eye on the Royals game. And if you have to be Kevin Harlan in this one and start calling both games, feel free to do so. We have the rights to both, so it's cool.
You know what? I just might do that.
There you go. So. Well, Mitch, have a great call. Enjoy the game.
And God.
That's right. Hey, Mitch, have a good one on Monday night, baby. I know you get Mitch. Mitch Holtis. Mitch Holtis brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, speaking of announcers, we got a good one here, and I think they're going to be a little biased towards your boys in blue. We'll talk about that on the other side. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Line drive, left field, base hit to the corner. Let's see if they try to score Randolph. Wilson up with the ball. He gets it into Brett. Brett turns and fires to the plate, and he is going to be out of the plate.
That's right. Game 2, 1980 ALCS, Royals-Yankees.
That's the play Kurt Nelson was talking about, that George Steinbrenner wanted the Yankee manager Dick Houser at the time to fire the third base coach. And he wouldn't do it, and Houser ended up getting fired, and the Royals ended up hiring him. And so there's bad blood between the Yankees and Royals that dates back before I was even born on this planet. 1976, 77, 78, and 80, the Royals finally exact that revenge. We'll talk to George Brett coming up in about 15 minutes, and can shed some light on it. And as you were playing those highlights, I'm watching on X, formerly Twitter, as they like to call it, and I just did a retweet of this so everybody can see it. There's about a 2.5-minute video out there, Royals Yankees highlights from the 70s.
It's awesome.
It is really, really good. So if you go to X and you want to watch, it's about 2.5 minutes, goes fast, and it ends with George getting up and nettles and fighting each other at third base and just dusting each other off and going back to the game. And you forget or you don't know. And I think for most of us, it's we really just don't know what that magnitude was back in the late 70s and 80s. We only heard it about through our dads, you know, like when I was growing up, my dad was like, it's the Royals and Yankees, Royals and Yankees, Royals and Yankees. And everybody here still hates the Yankees who are old enough to remember that. Mm-hmm. And those of us who aren't really old enough to remember that, it's trickled down and you just have that kind of feeling like you don't like the Yankees because your dad or maybe your grandpa at this point in time told you you're not supposed to like the Yankees, but the historical significance, Dusty, of this series is really, really big. I know the Mets and Phillies is going to take a lot of attention. The Dodgers and Padres is going to have a lot of attention. I don't think the Tigers and Indians are going to have a lot of attention, but this Yankee-Royal series is like baseball at its purest. Back when everybody was on the same level playing field and everybody had a chance and we didn't have these exorbitant salaries and spends like we see today that separates the haves from the have-nots, that's back when baseball was really America's pastime and everybody was watching the Royals and Yankees. These were big games back then.
Somebody brings up a funny text about that. play. So it's funny, addition to the story, my grandfather was sitting behind Steinbrenner for that out at home. Says he got up after saying every cuss word under his breath and was mad as hell.
That's great. That's a great story. Like, that's really, really cool. And you can see George Steinbrenner doing that. I mean, that was back in the day when he was firing guys and, you know, trading players and you know, hiring FBI agents to follow players around, allegedly. Like, I mean, he was nuts. He was absolutely nuts. But I think anybody would tell you they'd rather have an owner like George Steinbrenner any day of the week because he was willing to spend that money and go out there. And we can ask George about it, but how many times the Yankees tried to offer him money to go play in New York and he wouldn't take the Yankees' money? I'm not taking that. I'm a Royal. I'm staying in Kansas City. And that's why George Brett became the greatest Royal of all time and became a lifelong, you know, member of this community and one of the great ambassadors that the Kansas City Royals in this town has ever seen. So I'll be excited to talk. I haven't talked to George about the Royals and Yankees in a long time.
Right.
But you know the venom and the hatred's going to be spewing coming up in about 10 minutes.
And I think what's great about this weekend is that Costas is going to be on the call. And I know there's some people that have their opinions of Bob Costas. He's not the same that he used to be.
Right.
But that's the best part, is what he used to be and what he is. He's a very knowledgeable baseball person. He's a very sports knowledgeable person. And you think he's the perfect person to broadcast for these Yankees and Royals games coming up in the ALDS.
I'd be rolling torpedoes, get blundered with Rostas for a hefty fee, I'm on your record, like Bob Costas.
Spitting bars.
Yeah, he really is.
Bars, boy.
I saw it come out yesterday. Okay, Costas and Ron Darling. And Ron Darling, if you haven't watched any Met games on you know, the package, and he's fantastic. So he's going to be great on the call. And I thought about Bob Costas, and my initial reaction was, trademark pending, was, really? Bob Costas. All right. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? Actually, Bob Costas is the perfect broadcaster for this series because of that historical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be able to tell that historical perspective better than anybody else, better than a John Shambi or whoever else are calling these games. And that's no knock on those guys that are calling these games, or better than, you know, Brian Anderson is the other TBS announcer. And I love Brian Anderson. I think he's really, really good at everything he does. But he wasn't there in the 70s. Bob Costas lived through all of this stuff. Bob Costas was, you know, our age in the 70s when this kind of stuff was going on, working in broadcasting, covering Major League Baseball, a part of this kind of stuff. And the historic significance of this series, I think, is a big part of what we're going to see. And to have Bob Costas on TV to be able to tell guys like us who really weren't alive in the late 70s and early 80s what this series was like and what some of those moments are like, I think is very important. And I think they hit a home run by having Bob Costas do the series. At first, I was like, eh. And then I started to think about big picture, and I'm like, you know what? The history of this series is so important for everybody to understand, and there's going to be nobody better that can tell that story than Bob Costas, one of the great storytellers of all time.
Speaking of stories, we'll hear from George Brett in about 8 minutes here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll be tuned in for that because there's nobody that hates the Yankees more than George Brett, and there's no one that hates George Brett more than Yankees fans. Yeah. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
He is their John Elway.
Right.
They are his Oakland Raiders, Vegas Raiders, Angeles Raiders, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to ask you, would you rather have Bobby Witt on that 1980s team, or would you rather have George Brett on this 2024 team?
This team.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Brett in his prime on this team playing third base with
George
Bobby
and Bobby
Jr.
There. Oh, my good God. But you'd have Bobby you'd have Bobby and George in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, but
so it's kind of like the same
now.
Question.
Yeah, true. You know, yeah. I'm living now.
Our fathers might be like, well, yours might be like, I don't want to see Bobby Witt Jr. anywhere near that. I mean, I'm not saying he's a Yankees fan, but I'm saying, like, you know, my dad would just say yes, for
right.
sure.
Yeah.
But no, I think Bob Costas is great for this because I don't think there's any bias from Bob. I think that he will give it how it is. I don't think you'll have people complaining like they did about Joe Buck and Madison Bumgarner. Maybe you will. I don't know. You can't please everybody. We obviously know that in this world. But
right.
I do love that Costas is here because, like, I've always been a Bob Costas fan, and I've never really had to, like, kind of endure him during a game of importance for me. Now, maybe I'm missing one, but I don't think I am.
Mm-hmm. You talk about like a Kansas City game that Bob Costas was on the mic for. Yeah, I don't know that
off the top of my head. I'm sure there's somebody that knows that. There was a Chiefs game he did, but I mean, I remember when he would do like the little halftime report, like the Costas report at halftime, and it was like just something that maybe you weren't thinking about in the world of sports, or there was a story that was newsworthy but also had sports ties to it. But this is one where, like, nobody knows who the Royals are outside of Kansas City.
Right.
Like, you know who Bobby Witt Jr. is. You might know who Salvador Perez is, but you don't know anybody. And New York, a lot of people know about New York. Jazz Chisholm, Stanton, Judge, Soto, Garrett Cole. And Bob Costas is going to let people know who the hell the Royals are.
Yeah,
and that's one of the best guys to let people know who they are. And he just has that Nance, you know, that nice, smooth delivery. And I can't wait to hear him talk about Bobby Witt Jr.
Well, and I also think, too, you know, Bob Costas, the last time he called a Yankee playoff series was about 2 years ago. And that's he got ripped pretty good. And it came out and admitted he wasn't good behind the microphone in that playoff series the last time he called playoff baseball. So I don't want to call this a redemption tour for Bob Costas, but I think we're going to get Bob Costas at his best.
Okay.
And I think Bob Costas has learned that, like, sometimes the stories you got to get quicker through because now we got a pitch clock. There's not enough time to sit there and tell those stories. But I do think he needs to work in those stories because of, like I said, the historical significance of this thing. So I hope we get a good blend of stories, but I also think we're going to get Bob Costas at his best. I think he kind of is on that revenge tour to let everybody know, hey, I didn't do so good the last time out, but you know what? I've got an opportunity to go ahead and redeem myself. And I think when this series is all said and done, I think people in Kansas City are going to appreciate Bob Costas a lot more. And I think he's going to have himself one hell of a series. And I think we're very lucky to have him on the series. He's the perfect guy to call Royals and Yankees.
No doubt about it. Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon user savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The greatest Royals player of all time joins us on the other side, George Brett. Here on 96.5 The Fan on a show we call Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Five. The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.